Okay, can you hear me? All right, okay. Many thanks to Joan and Chris and Don and Scott for continuing the Hemingway series, and to the memory of Jimmy, who was the heart of it. I'm going to begin with three autobiographical poems, starting with one from Main Street Rag. Half caste. Privileged child of immigrant parents, I jettisoned Malay, Hokkien, Gaelic, the words they spoke before they met. Cribbed an accent from my schoolmates, my London birth a guarantee of passport, healthcare, cups of tea. So I was born and raised in London. My mother was Irish, and my father grew up as part of the Chinese population in Malaysia. The next poem was first published in Songs of Eret's Poetry Review and is about reading The Lord of the Rings to my daughter when she was 8. Lost. Each night, we travel a few leagues further into the book in which I once lost myself, or so some long ago observer might have said as I read it for the 6th or 7th or 8th time, a solitary child who lost herself in books, and this book most of all. Your company is grand. You may well be the best companion I have taken on this journey. But I was never lonely when I read alone. I walked behind Sam and Strider, Gandalf and Gimli and Gollum, with Tolkien's hand upon my shoulder. This is not where I was lost, but where I found myself. Reading was at the center of my life long before I happened into being a writer. And so my third autobiographical poem is also about books. It first appeared in Rune, the journal of nearby Robert Morris University. Bookshelves. They stand 9 feet tall, as if they have always been here. But it is only 3 days since the carpenter tapped the last piece of wood into place, a tiny circle, small as a thumbnail, hiding the signs of construction. White oak, their shelves dovetailed, solid, calm, certain of themselves. Upon them, my books look comfortable for the first time since we moved to this house 9 months ago. Battered Beatrix Potter books with my name written in messy block capitals inside the cover. The Oxford Book of English Verse, the first book of poetry I ever owned, given to me when I was 7 by family friends we used to see each Sunday afternoon. The 30 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica that my father bought when I was 12, the book my mother read before she died. Copies of Tolkien, read and reread, math books, history books, atlases, Latin grammar, O'Brien, Austen, Le Guin, Frog and Toad. And between them, 3 framed photos, a wooden chest my grandfather made, 2 glass ducks my parents bought in Venice, the stuffed rabbit whose ears I chewed. 9 months since we moved in, and now, at last, I'm home. Now for something completely different. In 2017, I had 119 haiku published in Science, one for each element of the periodic table, and they were reprinted as a book, Elemental Haiku. So here are 5 of them, and if you are not a science person, don't panic. They are haikus, so this will not last long. Helium. Begin universe. Wait 3 minutes to enter. Stay cool. Don't react. Fluorine. Tantrums? Explosions? First step, admit the problem. Electron envy. Potassium. Leftmost seat, fourth row, yearning for the halogens on the other side. Lutetium. Helicopter dad, keeping your electrons close to your nucleus. Radium. Licked by the women painting luminous watches. How much time stolen? Switching genres again, I'm going to read the opening poem of my epic fantasy told in poems, The Sign of the Dragon. This poem first appeared in Starline, and it was meant to be a standalone poem, but I ended up writing 300 more poems continuing the story. So that's what happens to plans. For those who don't read much fantasy, it is a fantasy poem, and it may help to know that a dragon appears partway through, although the poem doesn't mention that she's a dragon. You're just meant to realize. Good luck. Interregnum. 16 years old, fourth son, still they sent him to the mountain together with his brothers before their father's body stiffened. The kingdom suspended without a king, four princes, one crown, a crown he had no use for, a crown of war, alliances, duty. He slept on straw near his horse, displacing the stable boy, waited for his eldest brother to return triumphant, ready for the throne. Then brother after brother vanished into rock and ice and cloud. The steward took his sword, his shield, sent him out at dusk, no torch, no guide, no horse, no servant, no food, no water. Snow deepened under his boots. He waded through drifts, fell once, twice. The wind mocked him. He thought of the warm stable, the bed of straw, his horse, sleep. But sleep meant death. So he stumbled on. The wind called his brother's names. He shouted back his own name. The wind laughed. Snow fell. He walked half blind. Sleep kissed his forehead. The wind said, sleep. He sang to drown it. Sang hymns, nursery songs, drinking songs, dirges, ballads, marching tunes, the love songs his mother had favored. She, who was bartered for peace to a man she had never met. He fell, pushed himself upright, saw a black cloud speed against the wind. She landed beside him, her breath ash, snow steaming from her wings. He knelt, but did not beg, and asked after his brothers. One slept, one fought, one pissed himself. They didn't taste like kings. She laughed. And you, what will you pay for a crown, little princeling? Nothing. I don't want it. She flamed, and he saw himself reflected in her scales, a kneeling, shivering boy. Then why, she asked, are you here? Because they sent me. He stopped. No, he was so tired, he couldn't think. Because the kingdom needs a king. He struggled to his feet. And what will you pay for the crown, little princeling? Gold, men, a song? My freedom! He shouted at her. Well, she said, that's a start. Years later, on a spring morning, his queen asked, greatly daring, about the woman whose name he cried in his sleep. Not a woman, he said, his heart on the mountain where he entered his kingship. I'm going to end with three poems from my astronomy poetry collection, How to Navigate Our Universe, which I self-published in September, and that was an adventure. These poems first appeared in newmyths.com, Spillway, and Louisiana Literature. How to Colonize Ganymede. Let humans scratch the surface of this moon larger than Mercury, planting their flags, posturing. Beneath his icy surface, a buried breadth of oceans, lair on liquid lair. Save those for the whales. Let them bring light. Let them sing. How to surprise Saturn. Praise his thrift, turning rock, ice, dust to homespun necklaces. He'll thank you, then wait with resigned dignity for you to rhapsodize about those rings. Do not. Look at him instead. Admire his supple shape, his pastel palette. And lastly, holding you. In the dark, I lifted you out of sleepiness into my arms, school ahead of you, but for the minute that I carried you down the stairs to breakfast, you were a larger version of your toddler self, your head on my shoulder, your limbs still floppy. The universe so vast that if I walked for 7 years, I wouldn't even reach the moon. The sun, 3,000 years beyond that, and the next nearest star, 800 million years away. And in that vastness of length, only I had the privilege of holding you. Thank you very much.